Prologue. 7.5 years ago. If anyone knows just cause why these two people. The side door of the First Church of Tobias, Wisconsin emitted a high-pitched protest at being opened, but other than fleeting surprise that anything dared make such a noise in such a place, Annette paid no attention. She had other things on her mind. She was getting married. Right now. To Steve Corbett. The man she loved. The man who'd said he wanted to be with her more than anything else. The man who'd withdrawn into abstraction and politeness in recent weeks. The man, according to dark whispers she'd overheard, who'd been having intense conversations with his former girlfriend, the one from the perfect background for a Corbett. Gossip. That's all. From people who couldn't believe the elder Corbett's son would really marry Annette Trivedi. Couldn't believe it even after the church was booked and the invitations went out. She'd once been among the non-believers. For a full year, she'd insisted they were dating casually, even though she'd lost her heart to him. Steve would give her his half-smile and say, "Maybe you're not serious, but I am." Now it was their wedding. The happiest day of her life. It had to be. After all, as she'd been told over and over, this was the wedding of the century in Tobias. The music, flowers, dress, and ceremony were exquisitely tasteful. Even the bridal party was selected for balance and proportion, which was why, she'd been told, her brother couldn't be in it, he didn't fit. "That's crazy," she'd blurted in front of the wedding consultant. Her mother-in-law-to-be, Lana, had stiffened with disapproval at the breach of decorum. Steve had uttered the standard Corbett, "We'll talk about it later." How could she both admire his calm and hate it? No, not hate it. Not understand it. That's all. When later had come, Steve had said he would make sure Max was in the wedding, over his mother's objections and Max's refusal to wear a tux, if that was what Annette wanted. What she wanted? Tuxes wouldn't be an issue at all, if the wedding were the simple, personal ceremony she'd thought they both wanted. She'd kept hoping Steve would stand up for their plan. But he'd become so distracted she doubted he even noticed what the wedding had become. Then he'd taken her in his arms and said what mattered was the two of them spending the rest of their lives together. How could she argue? And how could she push him toward another family fight when she knew, thanks to the Tobias rumor mill, he was defying his mother by marrying her at all? So Lana Corbett decided every detail of the wedding. After all, everyone in Tobias knew Annette, poor all her life and motherless the past 7 years, didn't have the faintest idea how to pull off a wedding worthy of a Corbett. But a thought had surfaced these past few days, a thought she couldn't shake. What if the wedding said something about the rest of their lives together? The minister intoned, "Why these two people should not be joined in holy matrimony." "I do," came a shout from the vicinity of the side door. Despite gasps from the guests and the minister, Annette didn't turn. She was busy being grateful Lana couldn't blame this wrinkle in the master plan on her. Concern trickled up her spine, though, when the corner of her eye caught Max half rising, his face set in protective big brother lines. Steve stiffened beside her. All at once, that "all wrong I do" hit home. She turned and saw Lily Wilbanks with her hands spread across a notably rounded abdomen. "I'm the one who should be up there marrying him. Because this is Steve Corbett's baby." Gasps turned to outcries. Distantly, Annette heard a voice demand that someone remove that woman. Lily had to be wrong. Mistaken. It couldn't be Steve's baby. The rumors. Steve and Lily sitting in his car at Lake Tobias Park, heads close, faces intent. "Annette." It was the same soothing tone Steve had used over losing control of the wedding, their wedding, the start of their marriage. It held calming sympathy, but even more it held the Corbett proceed with dignity warning. Not to make a scene. Not to get emotional. Not to be herself. Through the gloves Lana had insisted she wear, Annette felt Steve's fingertips on her hand. They were cold. Or maybe it was her own skin that was cold. She stepped back, his hand left suspended in the gap between them, and demanded, "Did you get Lily pregnant?" Another round of gasps. Focused on Steve's face, she watched the man she loved disappear behind the Corbett coat. "Annette," he said with a reasonableness that made her want to scream, "we'll talk about it later. For now." She broke in, saying, "No, not later." Later she would let him and her love for him explain it away. Unless she let it drop completely. What a fool she'd been not pushing him about his mood or not asking him about being seen with Lily. Air rushed out of her like she'd been punched. Of course. Oh God, she'd been too afraid of the answers. Now, she insisted. Annette, he started again. Now, Steve. Or never. Something in his eyes flickered. This isn't. As if that flicker ignited her, she said, the time? I'm done having my feelings scheduled, so they're more convenient for the Corbetts to ignore. The place? A church is the perfect place to face the truth. This isn't going to work. She turned, half-kicking the full skirt, another Lana choice she hated, out of her way, and escaped through a door to the minister's office. She dragged at the engagement ring. The glove blocked her. Yanking at it, she heard a rip, felt material release as she pulled it off inside out. She dropped the glove, then ring, so much easier to remove on the desk. She had the exterior door open when she turned at a sound behind her. Just inside the opposite entry, Steve had stopped mid-stride, gaze locked on the discarded glove and ring. She kept going. The door closed behind her with a solid thud.